I want you to do me a favor. Don't go nowhere. Hallelujah. While these people are standing, I want you to pray for them. And after you pray for them, then we'll read the scripture.
Lord, we thank you again for another day full of energy, full of love. We thank you for every soul that you're touching right now. We thank you for those that couldn't make it today, that they be blessed in the same way that everybody is here today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for concentration on it. We pray that what is said today sticks with us, not just today, but throughout the whole week, at our jobs, at our schools, in our homes, in our relationships. And we ask that what you say today stick with us, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Hallelujah. We are raising two strong young men in this ministry, whether you know it or not.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But that brother right there,
yes, sir,
and this brother here, Joshua Boone,
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
These brothers are climbing.
Yes.
And God is doing something in them. And so with every opportunity that I have, I'm going to put the mic before them or put their hands on something, because I sense God's doing something in their lives. And,
yes,
and Wednesday night when Josh was called to pray, and then he laid hands on Elder Gilchrist,
yes,
to pray. And then you could feel the anointing being transferred. And I want to thank God for you guys. You know, just be steadfast, immovable, unshakable.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not forgetting about him. He's in we talked about them last week. Yeah, we got y'all know this is Slim. Hallelujah. He's picking that guitar. Doesn't it sound like somebody out of Gilbert Patterson's church?
Yes.
You watch what happens. He's gonna bust out of here one day. He's gonna bust right out in here one day. And we thank God. We thank God for the people of this ministry, the body of Christ. I love the body of Christ.
Amen.
Whew. What a wonderful, wonderful thing the body of Christ is. Job 19. We'll start in verse 13. He has removed my brothers far from me, and my acquaintances are completely estranged from me. My relatives have failed. All my close friends have forgotten me. Those who dwell in my house and my maidservants count me as a stranger. I am an alien in their sight. I call my servant, but he gives no answer. I beg him with my mouth. My breath is offensive to my wife, and I am repulsive to the children of my own body. Even young children despise me. I arise and they speak against me. All my close friends abhor me, and those whom I love have turned against me. My bone clings to my skin and to my flesh, and I have escaped by the skin of my teeth. Let's go to Job 23. Verse 8. Look, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. When he works on the left hand, I cannot behold him. When he turns to the right hand, I cannot see him. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. Father, we thank you for your word. We give you praise. Father, we thank you for your revelation knowledge. Thank you for insight. Thank you, Lord, for causing this word to stick to our spirit, that it may take deep root on the inside of us, that it may bear much fruit. We give you praise. Thank you for the anointing in this building. Thank you for the power of your light and your word. We give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I expose myself to you for a minute and let you know this? It finally has dawned on me. It really come to my attention that this is my element.
Amen.
It's one thing to be, you know, your call, but then when you really find out in your spirit that you call, it may take a while. I'm telling you, it has taken me a while to really, really get this, but I want to tell you that this is my element. I am like a fish in the water when I'm up here preaching the word of God. There is no confidence in my life like this, because I actually believe that God is speaking to me. And I believe that as he transmits his voice through my spirit, that I have the wonderful privilege, the opportunity that God from heaven gives to a man on earth. And that's to be able to speak his words to his people. And so when I'm up here, I really feel like I am at home. I'm not saying that I love my job. I don't even look at it as a job. I just look at it as an assignment. And God has me in a place where I feel the most comfortable. I'm like a fish in water. Glory to God. This is my element. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Today we're going to talk about when faith is invaded. You know, when you talk about faith invading, I want to say, I lay this groundwork for you, that when your faith is invaded, it's always from a position that you're aware of, but very seldom take inventory in. Meaning, you don't much notice it. Hallelujah. I was sharing the other night, Wednesday night, that when Sister Janice was teaching, she was saying a lot of things that the Lord has been speaking to my heart. And I whispered to the congregation when Janice left out that I hope she don't think I'm preaching her message when I do this Saturday. But one thing the Lord spoke this. He said that you and I have same subject, different content. Same subject. You know, when we talk about the things of God, we all have the same subject. Glory to God. We all have Jesus as our foundation. And so when we're preaching, no matter where we're preaching, thank you, Jesus, no matter what we're preaching, we all have the same subject. But we all have different content. Hallelujah. I believe that the content is the revelation that God gives to all of us. Thank you, Jesus. And so I'd say thank you, Sister Janice. Hallelujah. We know Job's story. It's a story of why bad things happen to good people. God called him good. Job claimed his innocence and righteousness, and only Satan doubted Job's sincerity. In fact, his question was this: does Job fear God for nothing? That's what he threw out there. Job's external circumstances indicated to some he was righteous. And when you look at traditional teaching, you'll see that from experience that God blessed the righteous and cursed the wicked. You read Proverbs 3 or you read Deuteronomy 28. You'll see that's what it seems like it's all about. Everything about Job was ideal. His home was ideal. His family was ideal. His notoriety was ideal. His possessions, his prosperity. Everything about Job was ideal. Everything about Job was reason to be jealous, reason to be envious, reason to respect and honor, be loyal. Everything about Job, everything about his life could have been put up in lights. Job had a family that he had sons and daughters, 7 sons, 3 daughters. He had so much wealth. He was called the wealthiest man in the East. He was upright. He was blameless. These are words that you don't often see pinned on a man. Job had it all. But as I said, we know the story of Job. After having so much, he had it all. Outwardly, Job appeared to be righteous, but Satan claimed otherwise. In a meeting in heaven where Job was not invited. Satan accused Job of being good only because goodness paid dividends. Satan was telling God as he accused Job, he only acts like that because you do him right. He only acts righteous because you treat him righteous. Because you give him everything. Because you give him that family. Because you giving him that home. Because you giving him that notoriety. If you just take down that hedge. If you just take down that hedge from around your so-called righteous man, he'll curse you to your face. That's what Job's enemy spoke behind his back. Can you imagine what's being spoken behind your back? The Bible calls Satan the accuser of the brethren. There is some dirty things he's saying about you. Oh, he's the great liar. He is the greatest liar and the greatest accuser. So he's constantly talking about you behind your back. You must understand, Job wasn't in the meeting. And Satan had free will to say whatever he wanted. And so he looked at Job as a man who was only righteous because God treated him that way. He said that God's goodness to Job made him so religious and upright that God's hedge of protection gave Job a certain quiet confidence. Wow. Sounds almost right. See, that's how Satan talks. He talks almost right. He says it almost right. Don't you understand that almost right is never the truth? Almost right is never the truth. So he's in court. He's in court spreading his lies. He said, remove it and see what happens. You got to understand, see, Satan proposed the test. He said, strip him. Strip him, he'll curse you. Take his crutches, he'll curse you. Take what he's leaning on, he'll curse you. Take his security, he'll curse you. Take out his savings, he'll curse you. Close the credit union down, he'll curse you. Take his dependencies away, he'll curse you. You see, when you look at this, you must understand that when we see what Satan says about Job, no doubt he says that about all of God's people. He says it about all of you, all of us. Take away that. See if they praise you. Take that away. See if they lift their hands. And I happen to know that it works. Satan doesn't have a plan if it won't work. He won't work it if it won't work. He doesn't do anything just for nothing. And so if it don't work with Job, he know it'll work with somebody else. It may not work with Job, but I know it'll work with Joanne. Yeah, I work it. See, he'll work it because he know he'll get something out of it. And so I say to you today, what has Satan come behind your back and said? He hit you. He hit your faith. He invaded your faith with something that made you drop your hands. Instead of stepping high and praising God with high steps, now you drag your feet. You used to be the first in church. Now you're almost the last. Simply because Satan went behind your back and your faith was invaded. Oh, boy. See, the thing about this meeting is that this test began in heaven. then it spill over to the earth. The watermark for you and I is, what is your response when our faith suffers an invasion? Where will we stand? I must begin with this fact simply because it's true. Most often, the invasion of faith begins in the mind first. Can we agree with that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, I'm going to show you how this works. If the mind is assaulted, it normally will affect the speech. Lord, help me talk. See, when your mind is under assault, the first thing that's affected is your speech. See, this is how your faith is invaded. Because it begins in the mind, and then what you say begins to come under attack. Because your mind and your mouth are intrinsically tied together. We often say what we think. Oh, God. Your words are simply thoughts until you speak them, and then they become words. So the first thing he does, he assaults the mind, and then he cripples your speech. Your speech is affected. And if he cripples your speech, the next thing that happens is that it will affect your walk. I'm in my element this morning. See, your walk is affected. Now, if the walk is hindered, your faith will crumble. Because we walk by faith. See, when he attacks the mind, he understands that the word that you are given by God has to be a spoken word. When you are told to speak life, the first thing he wants to do is hinder what you say. If I can attack your mind, stop the way you're talking. Because faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. And most often when you begin to develop faith, the first thing you want to do is speak faith. You begin to speak what God says. You begin to agree with what God says. God says that you're healed. You begin to proclaim it. By his stripes I'm healed. See, your mind is right now. Your mind is connected to heaven. And so there is a heavenly interest that goes through your mind that causes your mouth to speak right things. So the enemy comes in. If he can attack your mind, he tries to attack Job in a sense where if I can just attack him, I know regardless of what I do, I'm going to get to his mind. I can work on your mind. If I can work on your mind. Everything. Your walk is hindered. Your faith will crumble. See, if you can't walk this thing, you're not going to believe this thing. Because once you get shaken in the mind, in your speech, and then your walk, you're not even worthy to have faith. You don't think too much of yourself. See, the whole strategic attack is this, is that you would have a mental breakdown. Good God Almighty. That's what the enemy wants. If he can just break down your thought life, break down your mental capacity, cause you to be broke down in the mind, his job is done. See, we don't understand the power of the mind. See, sometimes we take the mind for granted. We don't look at that as a stronghold. See, your thought life is a stronghold. And it is a stronghold that is being vied for by heaven and earth. Heaven wants to run the show. Earth wants to run the show. Satan vies with earth because he knows earth is your place of familiarity. He knows. If he can just corrupt your mind, if I can just break you out, if I can just break you down mentally, I don't have to worry about your faith. faith defeats the enemy. But if he can break your mind down, that's what you call grassroots. He want to start at the grassroots. Break you down mentally. Because mentally, you've got to understand this now. As we go into the scriptures, we're going to go through some scriptures. But I want you to understand that God, when he called you to have a new mind. Because he knows that the old man has a propensity to fall prey to the thoughts of the devil. That's what he wants. He wants that. See? I want to say that. Mm-hmm. My mind, your mind is the place of fortitude. But what we haven't been taught is that you have the power to control this stronghold. I say it again. If we had been in Job's shoes, many of us would have suffered a mental breakdown. Yes, you would. Looking at me like that. You would have broke down. You would have broke down. You would have broke down when the storm came and took all your living utensils, your house, your home. You would have broke down when it took all your children. You would have broke down when he took and put all his sickness on everybody. You would have broke down. It was so devastating to Job's wife that she said, why don't you curse your God and die? Yeah, it would have been a breakdown. Mm-hmm. Would have been a breakdown. Yeah. But see, today we want to steal the voices that whispered us that you can't help what you think. I had to think about that when I said, Lord, that's a lie. And I thought to myself, the devil and got in courtroom and spread a lie that had been heard to have people believe that you can't help what you think. I used to believe that lie, but I found out by the power of God's word that I have control. Huh? What set me on this course is I had a trying, like 2 weeks, 3 weeks almost, of just mental bombardment. And it was kind of like affecting my behavior, affecting my thoughts. And I caught grips of that. And I finally caught grips. And I said, Lord, how do I stop those thoughts? And the Lord said, just take control. Because see, let me say this to you. Satan can sprinkle thoughts in your mind if you allow him to. He will sprinkle thoughts in your mind and he'll make you feel about a person the way you know you shouldn't be feeling about it. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Just think things in your mind about a person and you shouldn't be. Because you're stronger than that. That's why I say it is an evasion of your faith, because it's something that we don't take inventory on. We don't take inventory on what we think. We believe that if we don't say it, it's wrong. But Jesus said that if you just think about it. I said, Lord, I just don't want to be delivered in my mouth. I want to be delivered in my mind. When a thought comes, I want to say, stop. I'm not just going to have any kind of thought running through my mind. I'm the righteousness of God. So we had to, let me tell you something, it's not easy as it sounds, but just like anything else, let me say this, just like anything else, you got to learn this. See, I did some serious contemplation on this thing because it was something, I said, Lord, you got to help me with this one. And it's like this, see, we all come from the same place. We were all in darkness. Yeah. And so we come out of a learned behavior. Oh, goodness. I come from a place where I'm familiar with cussing. I'm familiar with profanity. I'm familiar with drinking and being intoxicated. I'm familiar with getting high. I'm familiar with back door sneaking around. I'm familiar. Unless you think it's just me, you are too. Oh, we all come out of a background. We all come out of doing something we shouldn't be doing. We all come out of thinking bad thoughts and doing this to somebody and tricking this person and lying to that person and doing it behind somebody. Oh, we all come out of that. When you are in darkness, everything about you is dark. Bible says he delivered us from darkness. That means we were familiar with everything that darkness had to offer. And so when he delivered me, he translated me. That means he miraculously moved me from a place of darkness to a place of light. And so while I'm in this place of light, it's all new to me. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. And so I'm new. I have to learn this new life. I have to learn how to pray. I got to learn how to fast. I got to learn gospel music. I got to learn how to love one another. I've got to learn this. The thing about learning this is that I never really get there until heaven. So it's a forever learning process. I'm not a believer that's going to reach a place that say, I've arrived. I'm learning. I got to learn. And so if I was living in darkness, that means there has to be some transformation in order for me to be able to exist in the light. You ever seen somebody who's been in the dark so long that when they come out, they got to do this? See, that's what we have to do when we first come out of darkness. The kingdom of God is so bright. We got to. What you mean tithing? I don't understand tithing. I don't see that yet. What about praying? You about pray? Man ought to pray always? I just don't see that yet. Jesus is the Lord of my life. I just don't see that yet. Jesus, give everything to Jesus. Give to the poor. And that's why this life takes a while. But it's a learning process. Because you're running into things that you never ran into in the kingdom of darkness. Let's go through the scriptures. Because there's much that's going to help us along the way. But we want to steal those voices that whisper to us that we can't help what you think. Thoughts can be subdued. Yeah, thoughts can be subdued. We must stop allowing the enemy to diminish or derail the value of the power of our God. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, I want to underline one word in that, because it says that the prince of this world has blinded the minds. You see, but I want you to see who he says the minds have been blinded. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Now, if I were to read all of this, you would see in this particular scripture the grace of God over the law. That's basically what this is. I'll start from the beginning then. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Listen, whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe. Okay. Blinded the minds of those who do not believe. blinded the minds of those unbelievers. You're not an unbeliever. The veil has been removed. You have nothing covering your mind any longer. You have a clear thought process. Satan has not blinded a believer. You've been released into bright light. Now, he says, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, the light of the gospel, the grace of God, the glory of Christ, the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord and ourselves your body. See, this is where we have to. Got every mic in the house. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I love that. You see that? Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. Glory. Glory to God. You see? He says, we do not preach ourselves. See, it's the first thing God wants us to know is as we come out of the darkness, it's not about you. What I am asking you to do, you are not the foundation of the doing of it. Even though I need your participation, don't think for 1 minute that you are the reason it's working. You are not the reason that it functions. I just need your participation. And so we need to have that in mind when we think about controlling our thought life. It's not all in your hands. That ought to bring relief to some of us. He says that it is a situation that Satan has brought upon non-believers. Now go to Ephesians 2. Because you are not the same. We got to stop receiving things that don't belong to us. And start garnering all the things that do belong to us. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2. You should have got me when I was in the dock. That's what you need to start saying. If Satan was going to get me, he should have got me when I was in the dock. No. See, in the dock, I didn't know who he was. When I was in the dock, he was just a devil. He was just a picture of a man with a pitchfork and a red tail and a red suit. I didn't know who he really was. I didn't know he was the great liar. I didn't know he was the accuser of the brethren. I didn't know he was a murderer from the beginning. I didn't have a clue. He should have got me when I was ignorant. Should have got me when I was in the dark. Glory to God. Should have got me when I was in the dark. See, and a lot of times what he tries to do, he tries to pull the wool over your eyes by doing this. He tries to pull the wool over your eyes by showing you stuff of who you used to be. He tries to make you become familiar with what used to be familiar to you. He said, "Ah, God. See, sickness and disease was familiar to me. Affliction was familiar to me. I'm supposed to be sick was familiar to me. I'm supposed to cough. I'm supposed to have a heart attack. I'm supposed to have cancer. I'm supposed to get an afflicting disease. I was supposed to, because in the kingdom of darkness, that it all, it consumes. But when I've been brought into the light." See, when you've been brought out of darkness and into the marvelous light, light reflects everything that shouldn't be there. If you take a white shirt and wash it, it may look white to you, but hold it up against the real light. Hold it up in the window, and you'll see that shirt has lint in the pockets. See, what light does, it exposes. See, sometimes people are scared of light. Because it exposes. That's why people don't come to God like this all the time. They come to God like this. Because they're afraid of the light. Afraid that they're going to be exposed. But Satan take what used to be a hindrance and try to use it by playing on your mind. He tries to play on your mind. See? He tries to play on your mind. Ephesians 2. Let's start in verse 1. Listen, this is why you don't have to be a fall prey to that blinding of your mind. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, who were dead, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Now, you're not the sons of disobedience. Used to be. The spirit don't work in you no more. But it worked in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves. See there? In the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And were by nature children of wrath, just as others. This is the past. Yeah, even fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, that's in the past. I have a new mind now. I'm not that anymore. See, that's what you have to say when those thoughts come. I'm not that anymore. When they come and try to tell you that so-and-so is talking behind you, behind your back, I'm not that anymore. I am not the same. Neither am I not the same. I am not powerless. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. That's right around the corner. Just across the track. Colossians 1. Let's look in verse 21. Are you there? Talking to you again. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. We'll finish that a minute. Hold that right there. Listen to what he's done. While you were an enemy, while you were a slave, Jesus made you right. And he reconciled you, even the situation in your mind. He reconciled you through his flesh by his death. When Jesus died on the cross and he said, "It is finished." It is finished, guaranteed victory for every believer. Your new mind came when he said, "It is finished." When he said, "It is finished," from the cross, everything that you have to endure in the new life came into fore. And what happened in your past was cast in the sea of forgetfulness. There's nothing about you that exists in your old days on that side of the cross. It's done. Even your mind. And see, the thing is that we get confused by thinking that, you know, the mind. I'm going to say this again. We get this thing that it's my mind, and whatever I think, I can't help it. Why would the scripture tell us this? So what does it say, Sister Janice?
Put your mind on things above.
Set your mind on things above. You do it. This takes conscientious effort. See, that's why I say you have to learn this new life. But don't think for one minute that learning means non-involvement. Jesus, help me talk. See, a lot of times we want to think that to learn in the kingdom is just something that's poured into us. I'm going to learn by everything I hear. No, you're going to learn by what you hear and by what you participate in. This is called class participation. Anybody ever had that before? There has to be class participation. You can't walk by faith if you don't walk. You can't set your mind if you don't set it. Set it means to fix it. Fix it on things above. One scripture says, think on these things. Think on things that are just, pure, lovely, honest, of good report. Hear that word? See, the devil wants to flush your mind so that words like this can't go into you. You can't receive that. Faith won't come by hearing if he destroys your mind. Have you thinking all kinds of thoughts? See, you can think all kinds of things and be just as wicked. Oh, God. You can be so wicked and be saved. And you know why you're wicked? Because you are not cognizant of your new mind. And you're not willing to work it. Okay? As close as I was to bringing this word today, I'm delivering my mail. And, you know, mail, I get all kinds of pictures, magazines flashed up before me all the time. And they don't brown paper anything anymore. They used to hide it from the children, hide it from you on the register, hide it. They don't do that anymore. This world is going downward. Here I am thinking about what God is instructing me to do. I grab a magazine and it's right there and I have to deliver it and I flip it. Same magazine flipped, showed up about 2 or 3 times later. Had to flip it. Because I don't want to give that kind of time. Because all the enemy needs is just a little time. If he can deviate your mind just for a second. If he can deviate your thinking just for a second. If he can get you to think his way just for a second. Because the next thing you're going to do, once you see it, you're going to meditate. Mm-mm. Lord have mercy. See, I know that God wants to cleanse our mind because we got some awful thoughts. Some of us have thoughts of other people. Some of us have thoughts of other people's companions. Y'all better pray with me this morning. I'm trying to show you the strategic attack that's on your mind. Satan is not just pulling you out of a correlated list. He already knows who you are. Know what you're like. Know what you were in the dark world. Know what you did in the dark realm. Know how you behave in the world of darkness. Know what you like. Know how you talk. Know how you walk. Know who you hung out with. He knows all of that. And if he can just connect with you by channeling something that was familiar to your mind. If he can get your mind, he can get your speech. If he can get your speech, he'll take your walk. If he takes your walk, he can invade your faith. He'll invade your faith. I'm not the same. Tell somebody, get control. Get control. Our mind is not the same. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians. I said 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Forgive me. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's look in verse 16. Let's start in verse 14. Verse 14, 1 Corinthians 2. Verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Oh, that's a confession. I got the mind of Christ. That helps me out the boat already. I'm out the boat. I'm out the boat right now. I'm out the boat because I got something to work with that doesn't belong to me. I got something that's higher than me. I got something that's higher than mine. I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. That means I have the ability to think his thoughts. Jeremiah 29, God said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. They're for good and not for evil. That's what God said. God is able now to think his thoughts towards you. And I want you to know that you're supposed to have an intellectual mind even according to your love for God. If your mind wasn't intended to be an intellectual instrument used for love, Jesus would not have spoken these words. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. So your mind is more than just something that you just have carrying around with you that carries thoughts. It is for working the works of God. Now, when you begin to understand that, you understand that you ought to be able to know the difference between the voice of God and the voice of the enemy speaking in your mind. You ought to know. And this is learning. We're learning this. Don't forget that. We're learning this. Once you begin to receive a thought that you know did not come from God, dismiss it. Dismiss it. Dismiss it. Dismiss it. Dismiss it. Tell somebody, dismiss it. Don't just let anything come in your mind and think that it's all right. It's a plan against your life. It's a plot of the enemy. Stop receiving all kinds of thoughts. Dismiss that mess. You got to understand if it's an invasion of your faith, because he'll bring it. As long as we don't put a halt to it, he'll keep on bringing it. We have to learn this life. Hallelujah. Proverbs 12 and 5 said the thoughts of the righteous are right. I got right thoughts. You ought to put that on your refrigerator. The thoughts of the righteous are right. Proverbs 12, 5. Put it on your refrigerator. Even the mind of the righteous is blessed. You need to learn how to put those scriptures on your refrigerator. See, you put these on your refrigerator, these scriptures. They're in your mind. They're mind scriptures. Your mind will channel these through your speech. And you'll begin to have right speech. Jesus, if you think right, you'll talk right. If you talk right, you'll walk right. The reason that you don't walk right is because you're not talking right. I'm trying to give you time to digest this, because this is the truth. Think right, talk right. Talk right, walk right. When you walk right, guess what you're doing? You're walking by faith. Unhindered faith. Because you should walk by faith, not by sight. Listen to what God is doing here. Got to learn this. Now, in Romans 12, 2, he says, do not be conformed, but be transformed. See, you got to learn how to stop trying to fit in. I'd have said a mouthful then. See, I find it out that it's not just young people in grade school or middle school or high school that's trying to fit in. I'm finding out you got grown folk trying to fit in with grown folk. Trying to fit in with the clique. trying to be like this, trying to do what the Jones do, trying to be, I want what he got. I want to drive what she drive. I want to live in what they live in. You are too busy trying to fit in. You are being conformed. The Bible says, be not conformed, but be ye transformed. And the way you're going to be transformed is by the renewing of your mind. Glory to God. By a renewed mind. That word transform is the same word that's used when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration. Same word. Transform. Metamorphosis. See, you got to understand this. When he said being transformed, it's just the same as metamorphosis. It is just the same. And it seems miraculous that this happens. That God can take a caterpillar that's so used to crawling and crawling around and eating on the beggarly elements and not being able to get over to that tree across the street, even if it had luscious fruit on it, he still got to crawl. He got to crawl up one leaf at a time. He got to crawl down one branch. He got to crawl. But God said that that caterpillar will become a butterfly, and that tree across the street will be no problem for him. What has had happened? He's been transformed. Tell somebody, time to come up. It's time to come up. It's time to come up. It's time to stop crawling. Stop crawling and wishing. Stop crawling and desiring. Stop crawling and looking out the window. Stop crawling up this leaf and down the other. Stop crawling on your belly. Stop crawling and can't get what you want. Turn into what God wants you to be and be transformed. Hallelujah. 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 Be what God called you to be by the renewing of your mind. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. I told you I'm going to give you all these scriptures before I leave here today. Before I leave here today, I got to give them to you. Say he tried to cut the lights out, didn't he? Hallelujah. What, Roy, what you say, Roy? We may have had no electricity, but we got power. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah, you mean it? Hallelujah. Ephesians 4. Let's look in verse 17. Ephesians 4. It's talking about the new man, who you are. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened. There we go. Being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. Indeed, you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on a new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. That's the true you. See, when you get the right mind, that's the true you. God Almighty. You mean to tell me that if I just allow the Lord to transform my mind? No, the Lord didn't say he was going to, you had to allow him to do it. Lord said, you get the work. You got to do this. This is a participation class. Learning and participate in the class. You have to put off. Glory to God. You are the one who is not to be conformed, but be ye transformed. You have to make a conscious decision that I'm no longer going to be connected with what used to be familiar to me so that I can be what God is calling me to be. People say, well, lazy Christianity. I beg to differ. You have to apply yourself, and you have to apply the word to yourself so that you can walk this word in life. See, when you get word like this, you have to put shoe leather on the word and walk it. Unless you learn and try to walk this thing and practice walking, you're constantly bombarded in your thought life. You're constantly being bombarded in your speech. Some of us still cuss. What does that tell you? That your mind is already under siege. Boy, Lord, he done opened up a can of worms up in here. What do you say, Doc? We done opened a can of worms up in here. Folks still cussing? See. Still talking about people behind their back? Still gossiping? That's why I told you in the beginning, it's a part of us that we don't take inventory on. And so the enemy attacks what we don't know. See, you'll never think for 1 minute that you have total control over what enters into this realm in your mind and you have the ability to reject it until it's brought to your attention. Yeah. And whatever's in your mind will come out. There is a connection. It's a threefold cord. Heart, mind, and mouth. Whoosh. And so Jesus said, be careful with what you hear. Because what you hear affects this. That's why the media has such power to affect the way you think. That's why the media plays the role that it does. The media is part and parcel Satan's tool. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 tells us that he's the god of this world. And he can manipulate your thought life. You read the paper, you believe everything. You believe the paper, you'll say, oh, things ain't looking too good. Oh, this ain't working. That ain't working. This is not looking good in this America. Gas is going down. Yay. But what happens when gas goes up faster than it went down? I dare say to you that this country is going to see a demise that you've never seen. You think gas is good right now. Yeah, it is. But I guarantee you by the word of the Lord that that gas is going to go up so fast. It's going to do something to this. And if you don't have this together, I'm telling you, if you don't have this together, if you don't set your mind, if you don't declare that you have the mind of Christ, it's going to affect your thought life. See, this teaching that you're getting right now is to prepare you. You might not have your faith invaded, but I guarantee you some of you are going to be sideswiped. Some going to sideswipe you. You know when some sideswipe, you don't see it coming. You don't see it coming. Where did that come from? Where did that bill come from? I didn't know I owed that. You went to school. You didn't. Folk be talking about I'm going to school. I ain't got to pay no more tuition. Yes, you do. Folk going to write you and say, you better send us our money or we're going to come take it off your job. They took mine. They came and took my money. I had some nice change. I got my check. Nova State said, you owe us. I said, no, I don't. I paid y'all. They said, all you have to do is give us the receipt. That was when I started learning how to keep receipts. That day. Because I couldn't prove it. Keep your receipts. Guard your mind. Huh? Guard your mind. We don't like being sideswiped. Hit from the blind side. That's what it is. Hit from the blind side. Let's try to close this down. Understand that this is key. These last two things are key to show you that you have the power and authority. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Give you some encouragement here. There's two scriptures that should be very encouraging that we're going to have. Galatians chapter 5, we're going to verse 22. Because I want you to know that taking control of your mind is a gift of a fruit of the Spirit. Let's say that. It is a fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is basically the nature of Christ. Now, if you are in Christ, that's what I love about being the body of Christ. Everything that flows through Jesus flows through his body. For some reasons, and theologians are famous for this, making it seem that we're part of God, but we're not that part of God. They make it sound like we're close to God, but we're not that close. Now, it either is or it isn't. Somebody's lying. I like to believe that the word of God is telling the truth. I'll take the word of God over a theologian any day. They'll tell you that you are the body of Christ, but the blessings of Jesus don't apply to you. That you are spiritually blessed. In all heavenly places, you're spiritually blessed, but material blessing is for the Old Testament. That's theologians talking. Theologians are people who go to school to learn how to confuse me. I said it. Because I'm finding out that a lot of theologians really don't believe all that he says. It takes a simple man like me just to trust God for everything. I wasn't born in a big high-rise house. I wasn't born up on a hill. Didn't have chandeliers in the living room. Wasn't born with names and titles on dish towers and bathroom robes. Didn't have all of that. Didn't have air conditioning. Didn't have central heat. Had a radiator. But I'm going to tell you something. God will reach way down and pull somebody up who will believe him. Doesn't matter who you are, where you were, if you've been on drugs, if you were alcoholic, God can use you. God knew it wasn't good for me to go to school and learn how to be stupid. All I can hear, all I hear from the theological circles, a woman should not to preach. That's what they say. What is a woman doing preaching? Let me ask you this, because see, you can read that and get revelation out of it if you can, but then you got to read the whole scriptures of God. And the thing that baffles me is this. Nobody goes into the background of why that was spoken. Nobody talks about the climate of the church and which that was spoken. Nobody talks about husbands and wives disagreeing in the midst of a congregation bringing disorder before it was spoken. Nobody says anything about that. Nobody says anything about the women that were coming in that weren't part of the church that spoke in tongues and was speaking wicked language while the man was trying to preach the word of God. Nobody talks about that. But then when you look at the life of Jesus, who is who I look to? For the Bible says, looking unto Jesus. And then it also says, consider him. When Jesus was ministering, who supported his ministry the most? Women. When Jesus was on the cross, who stayed there while all the men ran? When Jesus stood before Pilate, who was it that said, "I had a bad dream about this. Don't touch this man"? When Jesus left the tomb, who showed up at the tomb first? When Jesus was resurrected, who met him in the garden first? You read through the line. You tell me what Jesus was after. In fact, the first preacher was a woman. Jesus told her, go to town and tell them. Don't tell the disciples I'm here. And tell Peter too. We don't want to read all of that. We'd rather just stick with one scripture that says that women ought not preach. I walked out on a lot of men, and I walked in on a lot of women, and I'm telling you, women really bless me. Not a whole lot of falsifying documents and lying and pride in the pulpit. I don't have to find that. Guard your mind. Close this out. What is the fruit? Galatians chapter 5:22, it says that the fruit of the Spirit is love. What? Joy. Peace. Patience. Kindness. Self-control. That's the one. Self-control is the one we're looking for. Now, if self-control is a fruit, we're supposed to be operating in it. You're supposed to have control over the thoughts that come and go. See, I've heard people say, well, you know, thoughts gonna come. They all right if, you know, they can fly off. They're like a bird. They can fly over your head as long as they don't make a nest in your head. That means you don't entertain them. I can understand that. But I'm saying until we get there, that's the analogy that we use. You can use that until you learn how to diss those thoughts. See, until you get there, just don't entertain them. But if you can stand up one day and you've strengthened in the Lord, understand what you have, you can see a thought come and say, not today. No, I'm not thinking that. I'm not thinking that about my brother. I'm not thinking that about my sister. I refuse to think like that. I refuse to think like that. I refuse to think like that. Everything you do comes from a thought. People rob banks because they thought about it first. People going to bed with somebody they shouldn't be in bed with because they thought about it first. The sin is not in the bed. The sin is in your mind. The bed is just a manifestation of your thought life. A holy mind wouldn't do that. Lord, I'm talking big in here. A holy mind doesn't make those kind of decisions. Finally, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. The Lord loves us. He loves us. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's look in verse 4. This is a blessing. This ought to bless you. Hallelujah. Okay. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, Pulling down what? The understand that a stronghold is anywhere where you give liberty for somebody to run it. Satan wants to make your mind a stronghold. But so does God. God wants your mind to be a stronghold for him. And so Satan is after the same thing that God is giving you brand new. God's giving you a new mind. Satan wants to take control of that. Nothing he likes better than to see a Christian walk in the old way. If he can get a Christian to walk like an unbeliever, behave like an unbeliever, act like an unbeliever, according to what he's thinking, that's what Satan wants. He'll destroy you for all the world to see. He just wants the world to see how he can run and control the life of a believer. Yeah. And listen to what he says. He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. Mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments. These are things that's in your mind. I want to stop right there because I know this is real. You got something in your mind right now against somebody. You got something in your mind right now against something, and it's old, but you still got it in your mind. Cast down it. Pull it down. That's not part of your life. That's not where you're going. Hallelujah. You're not going there. God has better plans, greater volumes of what he wants to do in your life. Don't let that be a hindrance. Don't let that hold you back. Don't let that stop you from going where God wants to take you. Pull that thing down now. And it's not yours. Pull down the argument and cast down that stuff. It's not going to be beneficial. All it will do, it will hinder your walk in God. Hinder your faith. He says, oh my God. He says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And this is what you do, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You got to bring every thought into captivity. You can take that thought and say, in Jesus' name. That's how you put it into captivity. You bring that thought down and say, in the name of Jesus, I have the mind of Christ. In Jesus' name, I don't think like that. In Jesus' name, I reject that thought. In Jesus' name. And it might be a thought that you might want to agree with. Good God from Zion. You might be upset with somebody and feel like you have a right to think that bad about them. And that's when the enemy will bring them to your mind. You know what I'm saying. Here's somebody who gets on your nerve. You ain't thought about them, but Satan brings them to your mind. And you feel like you got a right to agree with him. That's no different than a thief. Here's a thief. He saw what he needed. He knew how to get it. And he found out that you're not going to be home that day. So the thought he entertains and he agrees with Satan that that will be the day to bust through your back door. Yeah. He cannot reject the thought without the power of God working in his life. You have the Holy Spirit operating in your life. You got the power of God operating in your life. You don't have to receive that thought. You can reject that. You can go on in power. Reject that. He says, He says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. When you cast down those thoughts, God calls that obedience. When you're able to reject those thoughts, God calls that obedience. You're learning and training yourself. The power of God working in you will give you the wherewithal where you can obey. Pull it down. High things that exalt them things. Those exalting things that exalt themselves against the very knowledge of God. The things that God said don't do, your exalted mind said, I can do that. You're exalting your knowledge above the knowledge of God. You don't have to do that. You can overcome. You can overcome. You can come up higher. You don't have to have someone else control your thought life. You have the power. For it is God in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. Huh? That's what God does. We want to have cleaner thoughts. Hallelujah. I believe if we had cleaner thoughts, we had cleaner air. They talking about gasoline causing all this pollution. I think it's bad thinking. Because bad thinking projects bad speaking. And once you release your words, words have life. They have the power to give life and power to give death. Hallelujah. Are you here today?